So we are on Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph 74a. The Mishnah in the lower part of the Daf, the second Mishnah on the Daf, and I will share the screen so that everybody who doesn't have a Gemara necessarily with them is able to see the Gemara. So that should be coming to you momentarily. Okay, people see that?
No, not yet.
It's not a no.
Now it's here.
There you go. Okay. So we're at the Mishnah, which is conveniently marked in green. And this is a case we actually saw back on Ayin Aleph Amud Beis, when we were talking about whether kosher wine that got mixed with Yayin Nesach becomes Yayin Nesach or not. And we talked about when there's a little bit of Yayin Nesach on the mouth of a kli, and that might ruin the kosher wine as it enters. So we've seen this idea before. We actually briefly looked at it also at the end of the previous year. Mishnah says, Yayin Nesach Shenafa Labor, Kulo Aser Bahana, that in the event that I have a cistern with regular wine in it, and Yayin Nesach falls into the cistern, so all of the contents of the cistern are aser b'ana, you're not able to benefit from them, and this is following the principle we've already articulated, min b'mino b'mashahu, right? It's wine with wine. It's of the same type, and therefore any minimal amount is going to prohibit the entire thing. However, it's important to note, it's not that the kosher wine becomes yayin nesach by being connected with the yayin nesach. It's just that I have a mixture, and following the rules of mixtures, the Yayin Nesach prohibits the whole thing. Rabbi Shim Begamliel Omer, Yimacher Kulo La'ovei Kochavim, Chutz Mitmei Yayin Nesach Shabbo. Rabbi Shim Begamliel disagrees. He says what you have to do is sell off the whole thing minus the amount of money that correlates with the Yayin Nesach. So, in the event that The Yayin Nesach is worth $100, and the whole cistern is worth $5,000. So you can get $4,900. That's what you would have to do according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. And I think I mentioned at the end last time that the general rule is that when Rabbi Shimon Gamliel speaks up in a Mishnah, we follow him. All but three cases. The cases are called Arev, Sidon, Viraya, Achrona. Those are three unique cases where we follow somebody else, but generally, other than that, we follow Rishon BeGamliel. So it sounds like what we're saying is that the Yayin Nesach does not prohibit the entire mixture. We're actually looking at it as I have a cistern with Yayin Nesach in it and with regular wine in it, and I'll be allowed to make use of the rest of the wine. Are we clear on that?
Yeah, Rabbi, is he arguing with the Tanakh, or is he qualifying the Tanakh?
So it seems to me that he's actually disagreeing. And the Gemara is going to bear that out. You'll see the Gemara, Rav is going to say, Halacha is like Rav Shimon Gamliel. So if he were really just clarifying the Tanakhama, you wouldn't say that.
Rabbi?
Yes.
Does this jive with what we learned a long time ago? Because I thought once some Yayin Nesach falls in, you can't have enough from any of them.
Right, so Rabbi Shimon Gamliel was actually brought the previous time that we had this conversation. We first looked at this back on Ayin Aleph, which being three daf ago and, doing that in our sheer years, that puts it a while ago. I don't even know how many. It was probably close to a year ago that we had this discussion. We brought this machlokas back then. We didn't have a conclusion, which we're going to see in the Gemara, which is that the halacha follows Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, but that's our position. So Amar Rav, Rav says halacha k'Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. The law follows Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. However, and Alan, this may be in line with what you're remembering, chavis b'chavios. That's only if it's a barrel of Yayin Nesach mixed in with other barrels of Yayin Nesach. Avalo yayin b'yayin, but not if it's the case we gave in the Mishnah, which is wine that actually gets mixed in with other wine. If it's wine mixed in with other wine, then we're going to follow the Tanakhama. That's the position of Rav. Ushmuel amar afilu yayin b'yayin. And Shmuel says, no, we follow Rabbi Shimon Gamliel even regarding regular liquid mixed with other liquid. So the yayin nesach got into a bore, they got into the cistern, we're still going to follow Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. That's Shmuel's position. Now, if I paused here and asked you, Rav says we only follow Rabbi Shimon Gamliel where it's a barrel mixed with other barrels. But Shmuel says, no, we always follow this position of Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Who would you say we paskin like? Rabbi Gerzman, who do we paskin like?
Well, you give him a look as Rabbi Shmuel.
Yeah.
I don't remember now if it was by Shmuel or Rabbi. There's a couple of exceptions.
So the basic principle is this. If you're dealing with a business law, and our case is not a business law, even though it has business ramifications. But if you're dealing with a business case, the halacha follows Shmuel. Halacha kishmuel b'mamone. When you're dealing with financial issues, we follow Shmuel. Whereas b'isurei, if you're dealing with prohibited materials, that sort of thing, the halacha follows Rav. So I would have expected the law should follow Rav here. However, you're about to find that that's not necessarily the case. V'chein Amar Rabba Bar Barchana, five lines up on the bottom. V'chein Amar Rabba Bar Barchana Amar Rav Yochanan Afilu Yayin B'Yayin. Rabba Bar Barchana quoted Rav Yochanan to say, even wine with wine, we're still going to follow Rav Shimon Gamliel. In other words, like Shmuel. V'chein Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Nasan Amar Rav Chanina Afilu Yayin B'Yayin. And so too Rav Shmuel Bar Nasan said, quoted Rav Chanina, we follow Shmuel. V'chein Amar Rav Nachman Amar Rabba Bar Avua Afilu Yayin B'Yayin. Rav Nachman said, quoting Rabba Bar Avua, Amar Rav Nachman Halacha Lemaisa Yayin Nesach Yayin B'Yayin Asur Chavis B'Chavis Mutar Stam Yayin Afilu Yayin B'Yayin Mutar. Along comes Rav Nachman in the end, after bringing this series of Amoraim, and he says, Halacha Lemaisa. Right? What does the phrase halacha lemaisa mean?
That's the practical halacha.
Practical halacha. We're going to come back to this phrase because it's a very interesting phrase. He says, as a matter of practice, if you're dealing with yayin nesach, we follow Rav. We're only going to permit when it's a barrel mixed with other barrels, otherwise we would not. What Alan thought initially. Whereas, if it's stam yenam, right, it's not one that's known to be yayin nesach, then we'll allow Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's method even for wine mixed with wine. That's the idea. Now, we have a problem with this case. How could Rabbi Shimon Gamliel actually say, I'm turning off the share for the moment so I can see people, how could Rabbi Shimon Gamliel say this even in a case with barrels? Where it's barrel mixed with other barrels, you're able to do this. We said in the Stam Mishnah at the top of this Amud, right, the very beginning of this page, what we learned last week, that Yayin Nesach prohibits min b'mino b'mashu. And that was a case of Dabar Shebeminyan. That was a case where you have mixtures of things that you count individually. In other words, where you're talking about a mixture in which each individual item is significant, such that if you wanted to convey to somebody the amount that you're dealing with, you would actually give a number. You wouldn't give an amount. You wouldn't say it's X number of pints or gallons or liters of wine, you would actually say it's three barrels of wine. In the event that these items are so significant that you count them out one by one, then we said in the Mishnah, it's never batel. Doesn't work that way. So how is it that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is willing to present his view in our Mishnah that you just sell the whole thing to the Akum and you drop the value of the Yayin Nesach? How is it that he is willing to allow you to do this? The Stam Mishnah at the top of the page would have seemed to say that everything in the mixture is prohibited. So Tosfos offers an answer to this. Tosfos' answer is that Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says, our Mishnah is talking about selling. Let me just want to see the source sheet. Did I include the Tosfos? No, that's different Tosfos. Okay. What he says is this. He says, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says that our Mishnah is talking about a case in which you're going to sell each barrel individually on the grounds that the Yayin Nesech is batel. That's what the Mishnah was talking about when it said you can't do that, the top Mishnah. And Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel said that you can't do. You can't sell each barrel individually. But if you want to sell all the barrels as one and just discount the amount of money for the Yayin Nesech, that Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel is okay with doing. That's his.
So you say if you sell a pallet, you just have to take off the white strafe, the Yayin Nesech part.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm looking very professional with the microphone, Dan. That's well done.
But Rabbi, you can't sell it to another Jew because he won't be able to use it either.
No. You sell it to an Ovi Kochavin. That was one thing he stipulated. Right. It's worth noting that it shouldn't really bother us so much if the if he's contradicting the Mishnah at the top of the page. You remember that we said last week that Mishnah has a whole lot of problems and is susceptible to contradiction. We had a problem with it with Chametz on Pesach. So Lav Davka, I don't necessarily have to worry about him contradicting that Mishnah, but Tosfos does offer a resolution. Okay, but I wanted to come back briefly to Rav Nachman's phrase, where he paskind halacha lemaisa. That's a contemporary phrase. We use the phrase halacha lemaisa all the time. You want to know, you know, don't give me a whole shiur on this. Don't give me, pilpul and, debates. Just tell me, halacha lemaisa, what do you do? That phrase originates with usages like Rav Nachman here. So if you take a look, I'm going to share again the page that you'll be able to see what Rashi does on this. I'm just sharing the screen again. It'll take a minute again to show up on your screen. Okay, did it show up yet? Okay, so Rashi is three lines up from the end of Rashi, where the arrow is on the screen. You see that? Okay. Halacha l'maisa. So Rashi says, lahoros al hamaisa, to indicate what the ruling is for a particular case. What is Rashi actually saying? So what Rashi is saying is clarified by Gemara in Beitza, which I gave it to you on the source sheet, but recognizing that not everybody necessarily has the source sheet with them, I will call it up on here as well. So you'll be able to see it here. Okay. Oh, top of the page, actually. Sorry. Okay. So you see the top line of the Gemara? Halacha ma'isa slash me'inan. The Gemara here that's on Chavtes Amud Beis. The truth of the matter is that it starts on Amud Aleph. So I'll go back to the previous side. Okay, everyone sees it on their screen. Can you see that? Okay, thank you. So they're talking here about Yom Tov. It's a Gemara in Beitza, and that's what the Gemara does. And the Amar Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba is where it starts, one line up from the bottom. Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba says, Amar Rav, quoting Rav, Modedes isha kemach b'yom tov, v'nosenes lesoch isa sa, k'dei shetitol chala b'ayin yafe. The Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba says, a woman can measure out flour on Yom Tov to put into her dough. And the key point is measuring. She's allowed to measure the flour that she's going to use. Why? K'dei shetitol chala b'ayin yafa. Because once she has the confidence of measuring, then she will be generous when she separates chala from the dough. U'shmuel amar aser. And Shmuel says, no, you're not allowed to do measuring. So the Gemara asks, I'm not going into the whole Beitza discussion, but the Gemara asks, Vatana deve Shmuel mutter? I don't understand. In the yeshiva of Shmuel, they taught that you're actually allowed to measure. Shmuel says Aser, in his yeshiva they said mutter. So Amar Abaye, Hashta Amar Shmuel Aser, since Shmuel says Aser, Vitana deve Shmuel mutter, but in the yeshiva of Shmuel they said mutter, top of the next slide, he says, just waiting for it to change, Shmuel halacha lemaisa asalash me'inan. Shmuel was actually trying to teach us practical law. What Shmuel was trying to do was saying, disregard what they're saying in my yeshiva, here's the practical ruling. And now I'll show you what Rashi says there. Just have to go up the page a little bit. Yeah, it's on the outside margin, not the inside margin. The you see Hashadam or Shmuel Aser, the last Rashi on the page?
Yeah.
Okay. V'hu shana b'mishnaso mutar. The Shmuel himself said Aser, but in the Shir, in Yeshiva, he said mutar. Shmuel b'shmaisei da'amar Aser halacha l'maisa aslash me'inan. When he gave a Shir, and he said Aser, he was trying to teach you that's the practice. Shabalish ol halacha lasos masa. If somebody comes to you and says, may I or not, morin lo aser, you tell him it's aser. V'ichazin an inish da'avid, but if you see somebody doing it, lo machin biyadeh, you don't protest. The halacha de mutter. The halacha really is it's mutter. Ve'in morin kain. We just don't teach people that. So what it's saying is this. When Shmuel gave shir in yeshiva, not speaking practically, but learning the sugya, so Shmuel would say, this is mutter. But if somebody came to him and asked him, are you allowed to do it? Shmuel felt it was a bad practice to tell people that they'd be allowed to actually measure it out. And therefore, he would tell people in practice, usur. So the phrase, halacha lemaisa, what it actually means is, when somebody wants to know what to do, here's the answer that we actually give people. That's the idea. So Tosfos there in Beitza. It ends up being a lachatchila b'diavad answer. That's the upshot. We're telling them don't do it, but if they do it, well, fine. Dan, you said you wanted to ask a question.
Yeah, so wouldn't Shmuel or his yeshiva be guilty of putting something block before a blind if they're posking? Shmuel says that it's permissible, but the yeshiva is saying that it's not permissible. Would you be putting something block before the blind? So
right.
What's the truth at that point?
Right, so I thought it was the opposite. In the yeshiva, he was telling people, inside the yeshiva, when he gave shir, he was saying, it's mutter. However, when he when people asked him, so can I do this, he would say, aser. What he really was doing is something that frustrates people no end today. Meaning, you hear people complain about this sort of thing all the time. That when the rabbi gave a shir, he said, such and such really should be permitted. But then he's telling people, don't do it. So why are you saying don't do it? Either it's mutter or it's aser. However, the problem is that halacha, cold halacha, doesn't necessarily take into consideration policy considerations. Policy considerations are an issue, right? Just like, the whole debate that went on a month ago, and frankly is still going on in certain circles, of whether you do an outdoor minyan or don't do an outdoor minyan. It could be that letter of the law in terms of what's required, separation from people and all that, you could get away with it. But it's a really bad idea. So that's essentially what Shmuel is doing. He's saying, letter of the law, you would be allowed to measure for this. You could definitely make that argument. But if someone asks me whether to measure, my answer is going to be no. That's what he's doing. But yeah, that sort of thing confuses people no end. It's the sort of thing which I understand why you do it, but yeah, it creates problems.
Rabbi, if I can insert Jerry Winder's name now.
Yeah, please. Chil Tzvi Elimelech Halevi Ben Fega. Thank you.
Repeat again.
Chil Tzvi Elimelech Halevi Ben Fega.
All right. Before Shlema. Thank you. So the this use of the phrase halacha lemaisa essentially draws a distinction between what the halacha really is and what the halacha should be in practice. Tosfos here, and I put it not in our Gemara, Tosfos in Beitza, I put it on the source sheet, says that that phrase halacha lemaisa carries a lot of weight, such that the discussion there is a debate between Rav and Shmuel related to Isser issues, right? Are you allowed or are you not allowed to measure the flour? So since it's about Isser, it should really follow Rav. However, since he said that this is halacha lemaisa, this is what you should do, that caused the Bahag, the Baal Halachos Gedolos, and others to rule to follow Shmuel. When he says halacha lemaisa, we all sit up and listen. That's the idea. Clear? Okay, the upshot for us, in terms of where we are, we're not measuring things on Yom Tov, but where we are, Rav Nachman paskened halacha lemaisa and said, Rav Shimon Gamliel's method only works if you're dealing with barrels, not if you're dealing with wine mixed with wine. Even though all these Amoraim were following Shmuel's view that Rav Shimon Gamliel should be followed even regarding wine mixed with wine. Might not have been the actual halacha in the sugya, however, it's considered the practical halacha. So that leads us to flip the page onto Ayin Tes Amud Beis. Onto Ayin Dalet Amud Beis, I should, sorry. Hang on. Just going back to Avodah Zarah instead of Beitza. So we have a brand new Mishnah at the top of the page. This is going to sound familiar to some people. We did this back in 2018. When Cliff got the email with the sheet, he emailed me back saying 2 years before COVID. That was his view of what 2018 is. Mishnah says, everyone have it? Do you see this screen shared? Okay. Gas shel Evan, shezefasa obed kochavim. What happens if you have a wine press that, or it's a wine, well, the wine pit. No, it's a wine press. I was right the first time. That the had been lined with pitch by someone who is idolatrous. Minagava vihitahora. Dry it, and then it's kosher. You're able to use it. So I'm going to actually take a step back, actually, and introduce this, because I cut short the introduction I was going to give for this. We're dealing here with a koshering problem. The wine press has exposure to wine in one of two ways. Either if you press grapes in it, so it got wine in it, or in the sealing process. Pitch has a horrible smell. Nobody wants to be hanging out in a wine press that's been lined with pitch. You need the pitch because otherwise there'll be leaks. So what they did was they would mix wine in with the pitch. So now I have two issues. One, wine that's absorbed or that's present because of pressing the grapes. And the other, wine that was smeared on the surface along with the pitch. Those are my concerns. Follow? So the halacha is going to depend on what kind of material we're talking about for the wine press. What is the wine press made out of? Because that will affect both the absorption of wine by the wine press and the amount of wine that they're using in the pitch. So we said in the opening case, if it's a stone wine press that they aligned with pitch, all you have to do is dry it, leave the pitch in place, we're good with that, dry it off, and it's fine. Now, I should note that we're going to explain drying it differently in the Gemara. Based on the Gemara that we have already seen, 2 years ago, drying it is actually going to mean you rinse it and then dry it. But we'll talk about that. That's in the Gemara. Right now what we're saying is just that's all you need to do. That's the most minimal process. The Mishnah continues. Vishal 8, so on the second line, if the wine press is made of wood, Rebbe Omer Yenagev. Rebbe says, just dry it and you're fine, just like with the stone one. V'chachamim Omerim Yiklof Es Hazefes. And the Chachamim disagree, and they say, peel off the pitch. You can't leave the pitch on it. What's the difference if it's made of wood? So here I point you to Rashi, Shel Eitz. Debaya Zefes Tufa. It needs more pitch. Ubala Chamrat Fei. And it absorbs wine more. What does that mean? So the Kahati explains on this Mishnah that it's not that the wood is more absorbent, although wood is more absorbent, but rather, because you include more wine when you put on the layer of pitch, there's more wine for the wood to absorb. And therefore, the position of the Chachamim is, the position of the Chachamim is, it's not sufficient for him I have somebody emailing me for a link for the shiur. You know what? Alright. Sorry, it's a link for another shiur my Beit Midrash is doing, but I'm not going to be the one to tackle this one right now. I'm going to send it to somebody else. Okay. So the position of the Chachamim is, it's not sufficient to dry it off, you have to peel off the pitch. Then you have your third and last type of a wine press, Vishal Cheres, in the event that it's made of clay, then even peeling off the pitch is insufficient. It's not going to work. Why? So Rashi explains, the assumption is that clay in and of itself is very absorbent, having nothing to do with the pitch. The clay itself is going to absorb. The Tosas Yom Tov on the Mishnah explains what Rashi is trying to say. The clay absorbs wine when it is lined with the pitch that has wine, and removing the pitch is not going to remove the wine that's absorbed in the clay. In other words, we're not talking about wine from actually trampling grapes in the wine press. That's not what we're dealing with. What we're dealing with here is a situation in which I haven't even used the press yet, but because we're talking about a clay wine press, even the wine that I used with the pitch when I lined it is going to be more absorbed in the walls of the press, and therefore removing the peeling off the clay isn't sufficient. You follow? 3 degrees. Stone, easy. Dry it and you're done. Wood, machlokes, whether it's sufficient to dry it or whether you need to peel off the pitch. Clay, even peeling off the pitch is insufficient. You have no way essentially to kosher this wine press. That's what it sounds like. Okay, so that brings.
The machlokas is just with the wood, because everyone agrees on the stone and everyone agrees on the clay.
Correct. But don't worry, we can always make things more complicated. It's not as though anything has to stay simple just because it was simple in the Mishnah. So here, we're going to get a statement of Rava, which, again, is going to sound fairly straightforward. However, we have two versions of what Rava said. There are going to be two versions of Rava's statement. So we'll go through that, and then we get a story. The story is your reward for making it through two versions of Rava. Amar Rava, Davka Zifasa, Aval Darach Bolo. Rava, in his first version, says that everything we said in the Mishnah is only where you lined the thing with pitch. It's not talking about where you crushed grapes in the wine press. However, if you didn't line it with pitch, if you just pressed grapes, not you, the Akum, right, the non-Jew, pressed grapes in it, well, then all of these rules are not going to pertain. Rather, what do you have to do? Just rinse it and you're done. That's it. So the Gemara says, Pshita, that's obvious. Zipasa Tanan, our Mishnah said, if you lined it with pitch, these are the rules. So obviously those rules don't apply if you didn't line it with pitch. Yeah. But mahu desema, what could I have said there? I might have said, hu hadin afilu darachba. I might have said that the rules of our Mishnah also apply where you press grapes in the wine press. V'hai diksani zifasa, and the fact that it said, if you lined it with pitch, orcha demilsa katani, was just telling me what normally happens. Normally they line them with pitch. In other words, the Mishnah was just saying, if you have a wine press, it was lined with pitch, and here are the rules that pertain, but it'll apply whether you did the pitch or not. Kamash Malan, and Rava is teaching me that it's not so. So the upshot of version one of Rava is this. In the event that I lined it with pitch, all the rules in our Mishnah pertain. In the event that I didn't line it with pitch, I just used it to trample grapes, then we're going to say, rinse it, dry it, and you're done. That's the idea. That's the first version. The second version goes in the opposite direction. The second version says, let's see it. The Ika the Amri, alternatively, Amar Rava, Rava said, where my arrow is on the page, Davka Zifasa. It's only if you lined it with pitch that we're going to say that the rules of our Mishnah apply. Aval Darachba, but in the event that you used it for grapes, Lo Sagi Labenigov, then drying it is not sufficient. So in other words, the first version of Rava said, our Mishnah is where you sealed it. If you haven't sealed it, if you just trampled, then we'll be makil, we'll be lenient in the case where you just trampled. We'll be more lenient than our Mishnah. In this version of it, Rava says, no, if you just trampled and you didn't actually seal it, then the whole drying method is insufficient. So he's going the opposite direction. You follow? And that's how we paskin. So the Gemara says, the same challenge. Why do I need you to tell me that? That's obvious. Pshita, that's obvious. Zifasa tanan. The Mishnah said, if you lined it with pitch, here are your rules. Mao desema, yeah, but I might have said, I might have thought what version one of Rava said. Hu adin da filu darachba, that the same rule would apply even if you trampled grapes. And the fact that it mentioned lining it with pitch was just because that's a standard case, but I might have thought it applies even if you didn't line it. It's teaching us? No. Davka zifasa. Our mission is only if you lined it with pitch. Rav is trying to say, but if you trampled grapes in it, lo sagi labeniguv. Then drying isn't enough. So two different versions of Rava's statement go in opposite directions. One direction says that if you just crushed grapes in it, we're going to be lenient. And the other version of it says, if you just crushed grapes in it, we're going to be strict. And the halacha follows the second version of Rava. Clear? We good? I can't see everybody without stopping the share. Okay. Then let's do the story. The story is an interesting story, and that'll be our wrap up here. We'll be with this. Hang on. Okay, should come through momentarily. Is it there? Okay, so we are scrolling up towards the top now of my screen. Ki Yehuda asla kamei Rabbi Chiya. This is like the case in which somebody came to Rabbi Chiya. Amar lai havli gavra dedachili ma'at zartoi. Said to Rabbi Chiya, I need you to assign somebody to kasher my wine press. Amar Leila Rav, Rabbi Chiya says to Rav, Zil Bahadeh, go with him. Rav remembers Rabbi Chiya's double nephew. He is his nephew from the father's side and the nephew from the mother's side. He's a nephew both ways. You'll see that in the Gemara shortly, that Rav calls Rabbi Chiya Chavivi. Right? What's the normal word in Hebrew for an uncle? Dod. What does Dod mean? It doesn't mean uncle. What does Dod mean? Yeah. One's beloved. Right? Anila Dodi. It means one's beloved. A regular uncle or aunt relationship is beloved. If it's a double, it's an uncle or an aunt on both sides, then it gets the title Chavivi. The Gemara in the beginning of Psachim has that. And we'll see it here. So Rabbi Chiya turns to his nephew Rav and says to him, Zil Bahadei, go with him. I want you to go kasher the wine press. But do me a favor, do a good job. I don't want them yelling about me in Beis Medrash. Rashi says he's worried that Rav is going to do an insufficient job. They're going to end up trafing up the wine that's done on his basis, and then they're going to come back to Beis Medrash and yell at Rabbi Chiya. That's Rashi's explanation. The Rashash's explanation is that he's worried that Rav is going to be too lenient, and in the Beis Medrash, they're going to yell at Rabbi Chiya, the uncle, and say, why did you trust him to do this? He was way too lenient in the way that he kashered that wine press. Either way, he's worried about inappropriate leniency. So, Azal Chazie Davashia Tfei. Rav goes to the wine press, and he sees it's a really smooth surface. So he says to himself, okay, just, dry it and you're done. Amar havadai b'nigu sagila. He said, okay, drying will be good enough. Bahadi deka'azil va'asi, as he is going and then coming back, chaza pila mitosei. He saw that there were actually cracks in the surface under the clay, and as Rashi notes, actually not Rashi, the Gemara says, v'chaza da'ava male chamra. He saw that there was wine in those cracks. So Amar, he said, Halo sagi la beniguv ela bekiluf. Drying that isn't going to be enough. I'm going to have to peel off the pitch. It's not sufficient. What happened was, he saw that there was wine in these cracks. That meant that the vat had actually been used for grapes. Tosfos here, the Havashia adds a note that explains more what's going on. Rav was willing to be lenient until he saw the cracks. He wasn't worried about the pitch, at all. He thought it was going to be fine. And the reason why he thought it would be fine is because a press doesn't hold wine long term. And that's going to be an important piece in the next Gemara. Meaning, you don't keep your wine in there for a long period of time. You press the grapes in there, and then you take the wine out, and you put it into barrels. So Rav was willing to be lenient until he saw the cracks, figuring there's no wine staying in here. Once he saw the cracks and he saw wine in it, he said, uh-oh, wait a minute, not so fast. And then he said, we have to be machmir, we have to peel it off. As the Gemara concludes, V'hainu da'amar li chavivi, Rav said, oh, now I understand why chavivi said to me, chazi de lo mitzav chazalai be'medrisha, be careful they don't yell at you in the Beis Medrash, because I nearly blew it. I thought I was going to be lenient and say, yeah, just dry the thing. No. Drying it is insufficient. You actually need to do more. You need to peel off the clay. So that just supports the idea that you need to peel it sometimes. It's insufficient to just dry it. So, God willing, we will continue next Sunday and see more about kalim and materials. And actually, when we did this topic last, it was October 2018. Or somewhere around, maybe a little bit before that. It was before that, sorry. It was that summer 2018. Right after that, I started to sign up for the OU's daily halacha emails. And in October 2018, they dealt with the question of how you kasher a wine press. So what I'll be able to do when we go through the steps that the Gemara talks about is I'll bring you the OU's emails on how this is done, and we'll see how it corresponds to what the Gemara has to say. As Shmuel would say, it'll be halacha lemaisa. So, shkoyach to everybody.
Thank you.
Stay safe, everyone. Be well.
Have a great week. Thank you.
Too.